So they supplied to us, if you will, a PhD candidate that is specializing in what we were interested in. And one of our specialties is actually eye tracking research. Some of you are familiar with that, some are not. I was to a degree as far as package itself. But what Julie has done is take a look at eye tracking research in the environment of the big box in this case, which was close to the university. So I think you'll find it pretty fascinating. So with that, I'll introduce Julie Rice.
Spoken in front of this many attractive-looking men and women, so I don't know if we'll get this other chance, so this is a good experience. So my name is Julie Rice, and I'm a grad student at Clemson. I started about a year ago working within eye tracking and consumer biometric research. At my university, we work really closely with Pathy Insight, which is the company I'm going to talk to you guys about today. And we work with over 40 different firms and big CPG companies to get a lot of different products going for our company. So today, I want to talk to you guys mainly about Pathy Insight's process of conducting consumer biometric studies such as eye tracking, which we really kind of are, that's our major process that we do at Pathy Insight. And I also want to talk about our qualitative and quantitative data analysis that we use to potentially help you guys slash development times and also boost shelf impacts for your products such as Plottingsville and Mulch. So right here is a picture of where I work. I work at an incredible facility at Clemson where I've dedicated the past year and a half to eye tracking research and understanding and integrating consumer biometrics feedback into the design workflow. And we also want to be able to empower designers and brand owners to quickly determine market viability and shelf impact for your guys' products. So it's a really cool building, it's really new, and I really enjoy working here. So with this, I want to kind of explain to you guys what we do within this facility. So our facility is set up to complement our design laboratories with the goal of understanding and providing direct consumer biometric feedback to designers very quickly. So within this space, a modern sophisticated Mac computer lab is located with the most up-to-date software that's actually used in industry today. So we have everything from SolidWorks to Arduino's CAD to Illustrator, and this is pretty much where the designs can take place. So we get a lot of designers, young designers and professional designers to come into this lab and pretty much brainstorm and think of ideas for future packaging. So within this space, this is pretty much where our production occurs, and this is where we take all the files from the previous lab, and we're able to then print them on a Roland inkjet printer, which basically is able to print and cut inks very, very clearly on materials such as BOPP, polyethylene, and PET film. And we also have a Kongsberg, which is on the left, which is able to cut materials, pretty much any material from leather, PVC, mulch bags, and any type of thing, basically. So it's great to have this within our facility because you don't have to outsource this to different companies. We're able to just pretty much do everything in-house. So along with these production facilities, we also have something kind of new to its kind in an academic setting, and it is called CU Shop. This is at Clemson University, and it's pretty much a couple of packaging universities, such as Michigan State, and I don't believe they have something such as this. This is where we continue to do research, and we push a lot of boundaries, and we adapt new technologies. So this process at Clemson has been so successful that it resulted in a spin-off company called Pathy Insight, who I'm talking for today. It's basically a business form of this because in academia, we really couldn't handle all the big business names that we had coming in, so we needed kind of a business to take over with this so we could do things quickly. So basically, Pathy Insight commercializes viable and proven technologies for many different companies. It is a Clemson University startup partner who licensed the methodology, technology, and state-of-the-art immersive retail environment to provide our clients with the absolute highest quality data possible concerning package performance, consumer attention, and shelf impact. All the studies are then reviewed by university faculty and tested with strict accordance in and test methods and protocols to make sure we're doing everything pretty much so it's beyond reproach in terms of publication. Within this, we also want to make sure that we incorporate a lot of the Clemson University students into our company, because as I said before, Clemson has a really great packaging program. So we want to make sure that we get everyone from undergraduates to graduate students to be involved in this process in terms of graphic design, structural design, and statistics, and basically eye tracking, which I'll talk to you guys more about today. Within the space, you guys may be wondering how this grocery store really looks like. So here's an image of how CU Shop looks like within Clemson. It's pretty much a lab, first of its kind, in an educational setting, where it contains eye tracking equipment that is able to better understand consumer purchasing decisions. So within this lab, you pretty much just walk in like you're walking into a Walmart or a Target. You walk in through glass doors and you see tons of different items in the grocery section that you can purchase and do tests within. But all of you may be wondering, how is this relevant to this market that I'm talking to today? Because I'm not talking to people within the food industry at all. But not to worry, we can transform this space into pretty much anything that you guys would like. So here's an image of a different study we did for a paint company where we transformed the space into pretty much a hardware store. We kind of rebuilt shelves and moved around and tried to make it the most looking like hardware store as possible, which I'm really unfamiliar with all the hardware store stuff, so this is the best I can say about that. In terms of this, we did a paint study where people shop for gallon paint, and we pretty much did this study for Sherwin-Williams, which I'll say, and then we can do this pretty much for any different company based on the shelf, the space that we have. So pretty much the possibilities are endless here, and we could pretty much make this space look like a home and garden area if any of you guys would like. So not to worry though, in case you guys are wondering, you may not want your customers to come into Clemson and do an eye-tracking study within the university. You may want it to be more at an actual store, and we can do that as well. So for example, we have done a lot of eye-tracking studies on-site at places such as Lowe's. We've done eye-tracking studies for spray paint and gallon paint, and we also have done a little case study, which I'll explain to you guys today, on the mulch and soil industry. And this is basically all possible because we have new eye-tracking glasses that are pretty much mobile, and you can move them anywhere, and they're wireless. So they're really great and useful for those types of studies. So here's an image of our eye-tracking glasses that we use. They're called Toby Pro glasses on second generation, and they show exactly where a person is looking in real time as he or she moves freely within a real-world environment. These eye-tracking glasses help broaden insights into human behavior across many different research disciplines, and they've been used from anywhere from surgery to athletics to packaging design. The really cool feature here is that there's a wireless live view that allows you to watch in real time what a person is actually looking at. So you pretty much just put the glasses on, you can connect them to an iPad or a tablet, and then you can watch the person as they go along doing their shopping tasks. So if I were to bring these glasses here today, and I connected to the big screen and I had the glasses on, you guys would be able to see, you would be able to see yourselves on the big screen, which would have been really cool, but I wasn't allowed to bring them because they're super expensive. So, but that would have been really cool. So we even have these glasses a lot for many different types of studies. So you also may be wondering what we actually do when we use eye-tracking data. Basically, we aim to identify and analyze patterns of visual attention of individuals when performing specific tasks like shopping for mulch in within a Lowe's. We perceive the world visually through only through fixations, and the brain virtually integrates visual images that we acquire through successive fixations and a visual scene. We pretty much do this through an eye-mind relationship where what makes it possible to use these eye-tracking glasses is that there's eye movement measurements to tell something about human behavior, which we are all so interested in what the behavior of humans, because it's always so different amongst every single person that we have. So in terms of the mulch and soil industry, look at, for example, these three bags right here. They're all very different in scope, and you have on the left the Scott's bag that has different colors, text, fonts, and it kind of has an image of like a home and garden right in the top left. In the middle, there's a mulch bag, but pretty straightforward, basically just showing the mulch in its natural setting. And then on the right, we have different colors of the images as well, and using red and green, and also a natural environment on the bag as well. So mean, we can do studies within these bags just to say what is the most effective text, what's the most effective image, and what's the most effective colors for your guys' products. But we can not only do this for three different bags, we can do it for pallets and pallets of mulch that exist in Lowe's that you guys have probably seen many times. So we want to make sure we can tell you how your product can stand out amongst a crowd. So in the past years with our company, it basically started completely exploratory. For example, in this picture, we would go to a store, we would look at a shelf space, and pretty much just have someone put on eye tracking glasses, look at the shelves, and then we would then see different areas of where they were looking at in terms of hot spots, which I'll talk about more in detail later. But we have recently moved more to 100% client-based real impact projects, and these projects went from post-mortem or about to launch to now new product development to reaching the companies before they actually fail. So for example, we don't want someone to come to us and say, hey, our wine bottle did really badly, the design was bad, no one bought it. And at this point, they pretty much already failed because the design was bad in the first place. We want to intervene before this and make a design that is acceptable and tested before it goes to market. So that's basically what our major goal is here. So basically, this change in business corresponds well with a series of influential articles surrounding the top performing CPG companies like P&G. These articles are basically talking about doing things quickly and doing experiments for your companies, and basically saying about their innovation and technology integration, how it's developed in their development cycles, and PackageInsight is trying to model after that. So basically saying here, the bottom line is the conclusion that speed is a major weapon for a lot of these companies. If you're able to market and develop and launch faster, then you have a tremendous impact at retail. And that is really what we're trying to do. So along with this, I know there's a lot of packaging people in the audience. I want to kind of compare the eye tracking methodology to a lot of the transportation and distribution tests that exist in the industry. So for the people that are packaging, you can consider consumer biometric testing similar, like light eye tracking, analogous to the distribution and transport tests. They're all very quick and provide direct designer feedback and can also forecast the future. So in terms of doing a compression test on a package, you can see how much force it takes to get the package down where it's no longer usable. In terms of eye tracking, we can see how long or how many seconds you look at a certain product. They both are very valuable to the customer because they offer hard numbers for the customer to look at. So ultimately, what happens when your products end up here? This is a huge warehouse filled with tons of different products. Looking at it makes me feel really overwhelmed, and I have no idea what to pick out if I was searching for just a bag of potato chips or anything like that. But when I was approaching the pallets within Lowe's, I kind of felt like this because, again, I'm kind of unfamiliar with the whole lawn care and garden system because my dad always did all that and I never really wanted to do it with him. So now I kind of regret it. But so within this space, when I approached, this is just an image of pallets of lawn bags. When I approached this category, I was kind of overwhelmed and I didn't really know where I was looking or what I was looking for. So there was lots of different types, there was different images, and there was different text on each type of bag, and I really wasn't sure which one I should choose for my project. So ultimately, we do little if anything in the research and development stage to ensure our products are successful, and we want to try to change that. So this is what consumer biometric response provides. It's real data on how your consumers interact with your designs. And here's an image of a woman shopping for cereal, which we do in our shop, and pretty much showing some visualizations of the experience. So I know probably many of you think that package design analysis has been traditionally done in terms of focus groups instead of really doing eye tracking and stuff like that. So traditionally, we have executed this work in terms of focus groups, but we don't really think that's enough. So if we were to have a group of 5 or 10 men and women sit down in a room and talk about this product right here, they would say, okay, we like the beard on the one side, we like the mustache, we like the yellow color, we don't like the orange color. And that's kind of what a focus group does. We kind of just get at people's opinions, and we don't really see their unconscious thoughts about a certain product. Ultimately, we want to use focus groups to interviews as a secondary approach to doing consumer biometric research. So in terms of this, focus groups basically are good because they can explore feelings and perceptions and motivations of people that are within a group. They provide guidelines to the development process, and they pretty much answer questions like why you feel a certain way, and they kind of back up the numbers behind it. But at Pekin Insight, we do not want to just have people's opinions about things. In terms of focus groups, they do not give definite answers. And we want to be able to draw conclusions, give you guys definite answers. So moving forward with this, we want to kind of incorporate more of a mixed method approach into our data analysis. We want to understand what the conclusions draw and what the conclusions are. So therefore, we want to be able to integrate qualitative and quantitative research into one complete method. So we want to take surveys and focus groups and interviews and complement that with eye tracking data so we can then explain the number that we get. So in terms of consumer research, again, we're going to go back to the example about a focus group. If I were to have someone sit in a room, a cold room, cold dark room, looking at three different packages, like so in the middle, it's really not how you feel when you're shopping. This is not the environment you're in, and you're kind of being isolated from the actual source. See, basically, focus groups take consumers out of their natural environment in places where they don't interact with the brand or category. They don't give consumers a chance to think deeply about the responses that they would be thinking about when they're shopping. So this is basically doing consumer research, but not at the source. And we want to really get at the source for our types of studies. So a quick example here is showing how it's from an article from the director of consumer science at P&G, named Pete Foley, and he did a quick article about the psychology behind visual attention. So you may be surprised to hear that the woman that looked at this picture are on the left, or your right, and then the men are on the right, where they looked at not only their face, but the man's below the belt, which you would think it would probably be the opposite. And it is funny, but and when I saw this, I was very surprised because I wasn't aware that this would have probably happened when people were looking at this. But in terms of this, it's really interesting for us because we want to get at more of the unconscious thoughts that people have. And if I were to ask a lot of men in the room today, probably none of you guys would admit that that's where you were looking. If you were to have a survey, you'd probably just circle, okay, I was looking at their face, I was looking at their arms, but you probably were not going to admit that you were doing that. So we think that's really interesting because we want to compare eye tracking studies like that in the retail context because they reveal important clues in the decision-making process. So basically, the value of eye tracking here is it's evident because we can look into the unconscious decision-making process. So ultimately, at Pekin Insight, we care more about the retail context, the conscious versus unconscious. There's so much more to be found here. So we really care about the depth of the subconscious, like that image of the baseball player. We want to know that type of detail. So within CUSHOP, we kind of have a more in-context approach to this. And as I said before, we can actually go directly to the source, and we can go to the Lowe's and do an eye tracking study there as well. We're really interested in how people specifically shop, and what items they're interested in, and what package they choose, what package they looked at before, after, and right at the point of decision making. So we care about metrics such as purchase decisions, that's what they're actually purchasing. We care about metrics such as time to first fixation, which is what they're looking at when they first enter the scene. And these are all measured in seconds. And we also care about the total fixation duration, so it's pretty much the attention that you spend on a certain product. And these can then all be quantified and statistically analyzed. So I know I keep on telling you guys about an in-context experience. So we actually did this. Me and my colleague went to Lowe's and we did an eye-tracking study within the home and garden section. And I'll show you guys a video here of how the experience was. So we kind of intercepted a woman that was shopping for mulch bags before she went in, who didn't want any bias to occur. And she mentioned that she was shopping for mulch against her will because her husband didn't want to come with her. And we thought she was a good person to talk to. And this video is basically showing the red dot is showing where her eyes are moving. And it moves at 80 times per second, and we get about 8,000 data points per individual. As she goes through, we didn't want to tell her, hey, just go straight to the mulch. We wanted to kind of have her do a natural experience as possible, so we just told her, hey, go shop for whatever you're looking for, which we knew was mulch bags. And it's interesting to note here that she was really, really focused on the images more so than the text, and we could do studies such as that to compare if people look at images statistically longer than text. and vice versa. So another thing, an interesting thing to note when we were looking at these videos was that people really weren't very concerned with price, which I thought was very interesting because price is usually concerning to me. And a lot of the people that we did attracting studies on were totally overlooking the price. So as she approaches the malt section, another thing that I thought was interesting was that no one really was looking at the signage that was on top of the mulch bags. There's signage on top of the pallets that pretty much say soil, mulch, and what type you're going to look for, and no one was really looking at them. They weren't really being guided in their purchases. We did a previous study with a paint company where this actually happened as well, where people, you can see she's kind of looking at it. Well, people didn't really look at the signage at all. They were instructed to shop for indoor paint, and most of them ended up buying outdoor paint, and ended up with a totally different product than they were supposed to have. And we want to avoid this in this type of market as well, so it would be interesting to do a study on the signage that occurs within this section. And then I'll fast forward a little bit. So this is her entering the potting soil section as well. And I thought it was really interesting that she kind of focused more on the images when, in terms of the tops of the bags, and when she couldn't look at the tops of the bags, she focused really, really solely on the sides of the bags, which there's a lot to be done in terms of graphics and text on the sides of these mulch bags, because that's where people are focusing the most of their attention.
Now, Julie, is this real time right this now?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So that's that quickly.
And then
she glances away.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So for this example, she really was focusing a lot on the fruits and vegetables on the bags, which I thought was interesting. So along with this, after we get these videos of the different participants, we can then put these into a software where we can get actual numbers for what they were looking at in terms of how long they were looking at, how quickly they were looking at, and how many times they were looking at something. We can also then, instead of, if you guys are not really qualitative numbers people, we can also get pictures for this. So in terms of this is how we can visualize the numbers that we were talking about. This is a heat map that is shown here, which is showing areas from green, yellow, orange, and red. And the red is showing where they're focusing the most of their attention. So I kind of split up some of the palettes of mulch and tried to show you guys some interesting examples of where people were focusing their attention. So these pretty much represent the hot spots that are within each category. So I thought it was interesting for these ones that some people, when they were able to look at the tops of the bags, they focused their attention heavily on the tops of them. But when the palettes were too high and the participants were too short, they really focused their attention on the sides of the bags, which can be shown here and here. And again, we're talking about the images that they had on the bags. A lot of the customers really focused on the images, which we can do a lot of design work on that as well. And then here's another example of that too. And another way we can actually visualize the numbers is using gaze plots, where these show representations of the user's eyes as they move across a certain area. Each fixation is showing where they're looking at first, second, third, fourth, and it's in sequential order. And it's basically showing that it's really cool for a lot of different people to see this because they want to notice what's the most eye-catching thing within a space. And the first thing they look at is pretty much what draws their attention in first. So for this example, it's pretty clear to see that, well, it's hard for you guys to see probably, but there's a number one spot in the corner of the left-hand corner, so that's where they focus their eyes right initially. And I know there's a lot of dots because people were looking very quickly throughout the planogram. So when we have studies with more than a couple people like we did here, we would then do a simplified gaze plot where we can really clearly show you guys what people are looking at first, second, third, and fourth, which is really valuable to a lot of customers. So here's a couple more examples of that. So as I said before, we did a Lowe's customer case study where we kind of interrupted four people before they went shopping, and we kind of did an eye tracking study on them. We picked the most interesting person here, who was a to talked about today. She was a 30-year-old female shopping for mulch for her yard, and her husband didn't want to come with her because he was watching football. And she participated in the eye tracking study, and she also did a post survey on what she felt was necessary when she was shopping for a mulching soil. In terms of this, I know we only did four people, but at Package Insight, we can recruit participants for your required demographics, and we can recruit a lot of participants for you as well. and we can do focus groups, IGP study surveys, and interviews for your needs. So along with this woman, we then kind of talked to her and gave her a short survey on what she wanted, and here are some of her responses, which I thought were really interesting. She seemed really well informed of what she was looking for, which was good to explain to you guys here. She ultimately said she wanted to make it easier to open. She wanted the bag to be resealable, and she wanted it to be sustainable as well, which I know is a big topic within this industry. She wanted a gusset bottom to easily pour the soil out, and a stand-up pouch to be able to kind of scoop out the mulch and then lay it everywhere. She also wanted a zipper at the bottom, so kind of like a Ziploc bag type thing, where she thought it would be really useful to be able to open and close it so it wouldn't get all over her garage when she didn't use the whole bag. And she said she wanted better closure options and different sizes, and she wanted it to be easy to carry because this woman was probably 5 to 110 pounds and she was really small, so she mentioned that she wanted a bag that would be smaller. So after she completed the post survey, we then kind of walked around with her and she showed us some different types of bags that were in Lowe's that she thought would be good options for this type of product. Here's like an ant, I think it's like to kill ants type of product, and she really liked how the Ziploc was at the top where she could reclose it and open it, and then there was something to carry at the bottom, which she said would be really useful for someone that's petite like her. So we thought that was interesting and I wanted to share that with you guys. So you may be wondering what type of material research we can do for your guys' bags as well. So in terms of this, we have a really great packaging department where we have packaging engineers working in a lab called the DuPont Lab, where we actually make flexible packaging within our facilities. So I know in terms of mulch bags, you guys pretty much know what material is used, but I'll go over it pretty briefly. So low-density polyethylene is mainly used right now in the industry because of its lightweight, strong, and mostly recyclable capabilities. But we found some issues here because we realized it wasn't really resistant to high temperatures and it has a low temperature toughness and it's kind of low quality, but it is good because it seals easily and it's easily processable and flexible. So I know when we packed them up, we really want to have some necessary properties that do exist, and we pretty much want to make sure that they are able to have low slip film for stacking ability, and they're able to be protected under certain weather conditions, and not the graphics on the front aren't to be abrased either. And we also want to have pin vents to allow air release and some puncture resistance for the mulch bags as well. So these are all properties that we need, and it's hard to find materials that are alternative, that are more sustainable in the industry today. So ultimately, we found that low-density polyethylene is mostly used, and it's kind of single-use, which isn't really good because we found that sometimes there's residue from the soil that makes it not recyclable. But in terms of certain alternative materials, like woven polypropylene, we don't see this being anytime soon being useful because a lot of people in the industry today have heat-sealing capabilities for the LDPE, which we talked about. And then we also thought that maybe multi-layer film would be useful, and we could then go into more detail with that within our labs at Clemson. So returning to the notion of speed, I want to put this into perspective for you guys. At Clemson, we can do eye tracking studies that allow you to fine-tune consumer attention. And simply put, we are pretty much like a talented motivational speaker who's able to grab your attention physically and emotionally, just as well as the well-designed packages. Learn your attention and purchase behavior away from the competition. So this is a heat map that's showing this, and it's basically showing where the participant is looking. So ultimately, there's a lot of important things that come along with package design analysis. We really want to have a strong shelf presence for consumer products. And we also want to have, we want to know that effective packaging increases the product's likelihood to be purchased ultimately. But we do want to make sure that we want to ask the questions of how is it going to stand out amongst the shelves? And hopefully we can answer that for you guys. We want to ultimately make packages more noticeable, engaging, and convincing for the consumers. And we want to improve the existing design and identify the most effective one within a group of new concepts. So ultimately, here are some stats for you that I thought were interesting. Over 70% of consumers make their purchase decision within stores, and 85% make them after only picking up one item. And 90% make them after examining the primary display panel, which I think we can do a lot of work on in this aspect. So basically, proper packaging design is critical to draw attention of consumers and ultimately influence a sale. So again, I'm going to go return to this and basically say that the takeaway here is that you need to be conducting experiments for your products. If you're not doing it now, you need to be doing it immediately. The competitive advantage is that you are controlling the ripple effect that occurs. So you want to be able to direct and influence consumer attention towards your product and away from the competition. So at Package Insight, we can do a lot of different studies for you. We can do anything from prototyping, designing, and then actually doing eye tracking research for your products. We can do retail and competitive analysis. That would be like saying you have a certain mulch bag that you want to put within a competitive array of different bags, and we can then test that. Or we can do a design decision-making process, which is when you have three different designs that you really like, and then we can then test those to see which one stands out the most. And we can also do targeted research, is where you really want to see if your design is being purchased within a certain demographic. And we can also do that. So pretty much here, the takeaways are to establish a basis of understanding for your product and what you want to come out of in future in terms of graphic design and analysis. You want to define your next decision, and like I said before, it's a great idea to start testing your products. And if you aren't doing it, it would be great to start doing it now. So in terms of acknowledgments, I want to thank my boss, who isn't here today, Drew Felty, and Dr. Andrew Gurley, who's kind of the guru in eye tracking, and I kind of learned everything from him. And Aaron Hansmeyer, who helped me do the eye tracking studies at Lowe's. And Trevor Wells, which I talked to a lot about the different types of packaging that's available. And Jim McKinley, who was really helpful, pretty much in general for everything. So, thank you, and I can answer any questions you guys have.
Are there any?
I talked with a guy who said his wife would do his shopping while he stayed home and watched football.
I know.
I could learn a thing or two.
How much do the glasses cost?
They cost around $20,000. So that's why I didn't want to print. It would have been cool if I did, but. Yeah.
Did you do that study in Clemson?
I did. I did it at a Lowe's in Pleasant.
Does the glasses actually gauge your eye movement or just your head movement?
So they're able to gauge your eye movement. They're only 45 grams, so they're really lightweight, so they're able to catch your eye movements accurately once we calibrate them, which is a really one-step process.
What are you finding in the demographics between the 30s and the 45 and the 55-year-olds?
Between that, we get a lot of difference in the younger age group looking more at the images, and then the older age group looking more at text because they seemingly are reading it more, which is, I don't know if that's what you expect or not, but it seems like everyone over 40 is really interested in what they're actually purchasing, and under that are pretty much want to get out and go and just buy whatever looks pretty. So, I don't know if that's true.
Color preferences, or
that's a really wide range between. It's more different between men and women than different age groups, but it does vary between demographics as well. So color really isn't significantly statistically different for a lot of different regions.
Is it different geographically?
I don't know if we tested that. We usually test things within Clemson, but we have done studies in Las Vegas, where people really like darker colors, which kind of makes sense, but we usually do studies within Clemson. Yes?
Is packaging did you do studies on social media with this?
We haven't done studies on social media, but we are capable of doing that, and I think they're looking into doing a study on Instagram and Facebook in the near future to see which one attracts more attention. Something like that. But we haven't done that with this yet.
Are there other applications that eye tracking would apply for?
People have used it in mock surgeries to see how the surgeon was paying attention to when they were operating, and also if there was any distractions when he was going through the whole process. And they also do it in a lot of athletic senses, like people playing basketball and that type of thing. And it's mainly advertisement and packaging.
So the lawyers were doing this surgery study?
Yeah.
What about QR codes? Those seem to have kind of died.
Oh, yeah, I know. They kind of have, and I think we should get back into that a little bit. I don't know.
They don't seem to track?
No. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you work with designers as you're doing this? So, I mean, who's in your particular application? Do you have designers there?
We have around 3 or 4 designers that work with us, and they kind of do the redesigns for different companies. So we had a lot of eye tracking studies where we do baseline studies of different products, and a certain company did really badly within the competitive array, so then we'll redesign their product and retest it and see how that works. So we do have like 3 or 4 designers in-house, which are grad students and undergrads, and we can kind of contract out to some people that, if people don't want grad students working on their products, we can have people that are professionals in the field do it too.
Are there any bag companies that are using the technology?
Not yet.
Not yet.
We do a lot of packing boxes and stuff like that, so more than bags. But we did some foil pouches recently, which is pretty much the closest that we can get to that. Well, thank you, guys.
Thank you.